We thank you for Dr. Luke. We thank you for this gospel. Lord, this account of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would be present here, that you would fill this place, that you would fill our hearts, that you would protect our minds in Christ Jesus, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church this morning. Bless this time. And Lord, we pray that all things would just fade away, Lord, and that you would draw our attention to Jesus Christ this morning. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Please be seated. If you do take notes, I'm just going to go ahead and kind of give you a very practical observance this morning as we are going through this part of Scripture. What a blessed example Mary is to us. And we had discussed last week that blessed is Mary among women. She was greatly graced, but she was a receiver or a recipient of that grace. She was not one who grants grace, like there are many who believe today, and we see all of these, really, these aberrations of these beliefs in Mary, Marianic apparitions, and people channeling the spirit of Mary, and we know that that's divination and that God is not behind those things. But Mary, we can't diminish her importance and what God did in her life, and actually, for us this morning, what a great example of a life lived in submission to God. And just simply as we're going through, look at how simple an application really for our own lives there is, that we really need to hear the Word of God, and we need to believe the Word of God. And once we've heard and we believed, it's to submit to the Word of God. And we're going to see that there's only really one problem. I think one thing that gets in the way of us walking in submission to what God has planned for us, and that's when we start questioning. So as we go through, if you've written that down, let's, as the Holy Spirit moves and speaks to each one of us, maybe we'll get an idea this morning of how we're doing as we apply it to our own lives and we take a look into our own heart. Are we truly walking in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Now, we know the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah back in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And what a sign it is. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, one could say, and I hope that nobody here this morning would say this morning, but one really could say, I do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. It's a sad thing to say, for sure. But you could say that you don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. But no one can say truthfully or factually that the Bible does not teach the virgin birth of Jesus. And we need to make that stipulation this morning, and we really need to confirm it in our own hearts. If you were here last week, we took I may have beat that horse a little bit, but it was worth taking the time and unwrapping that gift of the virgin birth and all that it meant to you and to me. And the fact that it was said more than once in one verse, that God wanted to, through Dr. Luke, who gave us the autopsy of these events, wanted us to understand that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And really what that means is, if you don't believe in the virgin birth, is that you ignore the obvious, which is really just ignorance. Or to explain it away as metaphor, or to not take it literally, is just suggesting that Jesus did not fulfill one of the prophecies that's given to us concerning him. That's a dangerous situation to put yourself in. If he was not virgin born, then he died a martyr's death, not a death that was a propitiation and in place of. And there is no redemption for you and for me. He did not pay for anything if he was not born of a virgin, fulfilling the scripture Isaiah 7:14. Now we know that he fulfilled all of the scriptures concerning Messiah, but to say that he was not born of a virgin and to go as far as some say that the Bible does not teach about a virgin birth is to suggest that he did not fulfill one of the prophecies, which means that he wasn't who he claimed to be. Jesus was born of a virgin because the Bible teaches Jesus was born of a virgin. And because he was born holy and without sin, he purchased a gift that he did not need for himself. He purchased a gift that he did not need for himself. He purchased a gift that we needed. And he offers to us that gift, forgiveness of sins. If you believe Jesus, born of a virgin who fulfilled all the prophecies concerning Messiah, you too can rejoice, just as the angel Gabriel announced to Mary to rejoice, highly favored one. For God is with you. You are blessed beyond measure. We looked at that. If you are in Christ today, you can rejoice, for you are highly favored, just as Mary was highly favored, greatly graced. Caritao, which we had said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, is the only other place in the New Testament where we're told caritao, you are highly favored among the brethren. She was highly favored among women. Those who are in Christ are highly favored among the brethren. Rejoice, for you're highly favored. And God is with you. We know that the promise of the Holy Spirit was given as Christ said, had gone to say, I need to leave so that the Holy Spirit would come and live within you. And if that is true, then you are truly blessed, aren't you? Oh, how happy are those who are in Jesus Christ today. And so we pick up in verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. In James chapter 4, verse 6, we're told, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And as Gabriel is speaking to this woman, Mary, and we look at the responses of Mary to Gabriel and the word of God and what's being said to her, we get some insight into the heart of this woman. She was highly favored, and the Lord was with her, and she wasn't walking around going, yep, and I deserve it, don't I? About time somebody recognized me. But what a humble response from Mary, wondering what all this could mean. Why is Gabriel, why is the angel standing before me and telling me about the many blessings that I have from the Lord? And he goes on and he tells her, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. This angel, Gabriel, as he's explaining these things to her, understanding that he hasn't really given her a lot of information, he's kind of popped in and said, you know what? You're highly favored by God. You're greatly graced. God has smiled upon you. And she's like kind of going, well, you know, I don't know that I can ever recall Gabriel coming down and appearing in my presence and speaking to me in this way. And Gabriel, feeling that, said, don't worry, Mary. You're going to bring forth a son, actually the son. And as he's speaking to her, she's starting to get this revelation and understand what it was that Gabriel had come to say. Because knowing who Gabriel was, Gabriel being the messenger of God, throughout Scripture we see that as Gabriel would come and to Daniel and he was the one that would bring answers and messages from God, very, very important ones. And this is the most important message that he ever brought. And it says, and his name will be Jesus. Notice Gabriel says she will conceive in her womb. Luke, in his introduction, telling us this is his autopsy of the birth of Christ, of God's plan of redemption. It was not conceived in her mind or a plan that was hatched. metaphorically speaking, as some would have you suggest. No, she will carry an actual child bodily in her womb and call his name Jesus. And, you know, the interesting thing is Jesus is his name, and what we're going to see and what Mary was starting to understand because of the belief and the desire of all women to bring the Messiah into this world, Jesus would be his name, his earthly name. Christ would be his position and why he came. But we are given the earthly name of or his name, it would be Jesus. And so Gabriel starts letting her know and is starting to give her some information about why he's come down and why she's greatly graced. And it says, verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So he starts revealing who this child will be, and he gives five examples or five very noticeable examples of who this child would be, things that she would be able to relate to and understand, being actually having grown up. She's of the Davidic line and a very humble woman. But he says he will be great. The word is megas. And it's exceedingly great. They may not have completely stated in just how great in the translation, for it is exceedingly great. He will exceed all other of human birth. And if I could, and this isn't breaking or stepping aside from what the Holy Spirit of God is doing here. I just got to note that Papa Charles, they're doing CPR on him right now. So we're going to go to prayer for Papa Charles right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, you have let us know that Papa Charles is struggling. And I know Clayton just got the call. And we ask, Holy Spirit, be in that room. Be with those that are giving him care and attending to him. Be with Clayton right now. Calm his fears. We pray that your perfect peace would settle upon his heart and his mind in Jesus Christ right now. Lord, we desire to see Papa Charles continue to hear his voice with that man that loves to worship so much. But we thank you, Lord, right now that we know that Papa Charles knows you. And so, Lord, according to your will, we ask that you would do just a mighty work there and that you would touch Papa Charles and strengthen his heart right now and that you would just be with him. Lord, we'd love to see him again. And we ask this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. All right. So, we know that he will be great. Megas. Exceedingly great. Why? He will not just be the son of Mary and Joseph. For in the next, as Gabriel goes on to say, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And this word highest is hepsistos, which in the Greek is the equivalent of the Hebrew Elyon, which is most high. And he'll be the son of the most high. In Romans chapter 9, verse 5, we are told, Christ is the eternally blessed God. Amen. He's the eternally blessed God. And so we see these amazing revelations of who this child would be as Gabriel is speaking to Mary. The name Son of the Highest is significant because it would equate Jesus with Yahweh God, that they are equal. See, in the Semitic culture, a son was considered a carbon copy of the father. And so this message would be given with an understanding, Son of the Most High, that it would be that the Son would be a carbon copy of the Most High, his Father. And the Son, or of his Father, and Son was used to define possession of a father's qualities. I don't know if that came out right. He was a carbon copy of his Father, and the term Son would be used to define, there we go, possession of the Father's qualities. It's why Paul correctly wrote in his epistle to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. Amazing. And so the same nature of the Father is present in the Son. He also says that he will be, or that the Lord God, let me find my place here, will give him the throne of his father David. Mary was of the lineage of David, and we'll see that as we get into Luke 3, we'll see the genealogy of Mary. But this fulfills numerous prophecies starting at 2 Samuel 7:16, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Psalm 89, verses 3 and 4, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. And then in verses 28 and 29 of Psalm 89, my mercy will keep for him, keep him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. And then that wonderful scripture given concerning Messiah, this child in Isaiah chapter 9, and we know this. Kind of adds a little meaning as we're prepared for Christmas coming up. But we talked about Christmases every day, the little babe born in the manger. But we're told in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so we see in those names, even from Isaiah, that idea of the Son carrying or displaying or having the qualities of the Father, and the idea and understanding that he was Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward. Even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And I love that. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform that, this. And I think we see, and as we look at this event, as Gabriel is speaking to Mary, we're going to see the zeal of the Lord, because this is a big deal. And we had just talked about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, how important that is. It's not just a December 25th subject for us, Christian. It's of utmost importance. But so is this birth of Jesus. We're going to see something quite amazing as we take a look at it this morning. Some of you may already have recognized it. Some others may not, but I just love the picture that we have here. And so he goes on in verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. The promise given to Israel, which they rejected at his first coming, and because of that rejection, we are children of promise, what we would call of the dispensation of grace today. Jesus will set up his kingdom physically on earth during the millennial kingdom. You see, Jacob was his earthly name. He was given, before he wrestled with the Lord, he operated according to his flesh, and he was known as Jacob. But at that time when he wrestled with the angel of God and he held on with both hands and said, I want the blessing, he was no longer operating in the flesh. He had submitted himself to the Lord, and he was then given a different name. It was a spiritual name, which was Israel, or governed by God. So as we look at this, that he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, this is speaking of a future earthly physical reign, which he will rule with a rod of iron. And so this is speaking of an actual earthly reign that is yet still to come. And in his kingdom, there will be no end. Mary was to have the Messiah promised to David as having an everlasting throne. And so Mary is hearing this and she's starting to understand. She no longer needed to be startled. She understood what Gabriel was starting to tell her. You are blessed. You're highly favored. God is with you and he chose you. He chose you to have Messiah. It was the desire of every woman in Israel to be the one who would give birth to bring the Messiah into the world. And she was going to be she was going to fulfill that those prophecies. And so she said, verse 34, it says, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Many have equated Mary's response to that of Zechariah's response. Remember Zechariah? And Zechariah and Elizabeth? Zechariah asked, how will I know this? How shall I know this? You know, me and Elizabeth, we're old. And he was smart enough not to call her old. But he basically, you know, he said, we can't have children. We're past that age. And Zechariah's response was really disbelief. He just wasn't sure that what he was being told could actually happen. They were just too old. Yet Mary was not questioning Gabriel here and what Gabriel was saying. It was not a doubt of what Gabriel was saying, rather a desire to know more how it will happen. This is really miraculous. This is beyond really kind of what we can comprehend, isn't it? Imagine Mary sitting there with Gabriel saying, look, you're going to have the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. He's going to be great. He's going to fulfill the prophecies concerning his father David sitting on his throne. He's going to rule and reign over the children of Israel in a physical, actual, earthly kingdom. It's going to be an everlasting kingdom. And it's going to be you, Mary. And she understood that it was prophesied that a virgin would give birth and bring forth a son, and his name would be Emmanuel, God with us. Mary, you have been greatly graced and blessed. God is with you. And so her response was really, I just want to know how. How's it going to happen? And he says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And notice here what the answer is and what the work is going to be. Notice who's there. This is going to be a complete work of the Godhead. For the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son will all be present as it's happening. And first we see the Holy Spirit would come upon her. This was going to be an amazing event. Beyond comprehension, really. One that Mary could not accomplish in her own strength and in her own understanding. So the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her to accomplish God's work in her. It's something that was very common in the Old Testament, as God would move upon men and women and use them and empower them for his service. We saw it with Samson and with Deborah and with Saul. Even, you know, who we know Saul, that Holy Spirit was removed from Saul. But we would see this coming upon these people to give them the strength and to really accomplish that which God had set out to do through them, in them, and through them. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon Mary. And it's nothing new. It wasn't out of the ordinary. God had already operated in this way numerous times. But now today, the Holy Spirit lives in the lives of the believer. He's taken residence to encourage and to guide, to convict God's children, even to warn and to instruct. It was the promise that Christ gave as he was preparing to ascend, that he would have, the Holy Spirit would no longer just be with or and upon, but that he would be in. And he lives in the life of those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That promise had not yet been given, though. So here we see that the Holy Spirit would come upon Mary. You see, it could not be accomplished in the flesh. It could not be accomplished according to our ways or Mary, what Mary had available to her, her understanding, or how really things work in this physical world. It's really a problem that we see so much in the church today. The problems of strife and discord and dissension, divisiveness, gossip, backbiting, they're a result of man's trying to continue in the flesh what God had begun in the spirit. In fact, in the letter to Galatians, he addressed them. He said, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" And there would have been a danger had Mary tried to do in her own strength, in her own power, what Gabriel was telling her that was going to happen. You see, God's work of redemption has started with the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary did not say, "Okay, so where's Joseph? Let's just get this done and move on, because God had this plan and she told me, you know, he told me that I'm going to conceive." No. There was something amazing going on, and it was going to start with a move of the Holy Spirit upon her as she submits herself to him. Now, there is a heresy. I'll just say it's really kind of a horrible thing. There are some that suggest that there were some kind of sexual relations between the Holy Spirit of God and Mary in all of this, according to our understanding. That is foolishness. And if you've heard that, don't believe it, all right? Which I would probably be more than assuming that you don't believe it. But it's just hideous to think that God would do something like this and operate within our understanding and within how we would think things would operate. This has nothing to do with work of the flesh as we would see it. But you grant it to man or some, you know, or mankind to come up with something so ridiculous. So the Holy Spirit would come upon her, and then notice the power of the highest will overshadow you, Gabriel says. Just as the cloud had descended upon the tabernacle and about the Holy of Holies as a covering. You see, because it was at the Holy of Holies where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. And we know through Scripture that no man could look upon the glory of God and live. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And I believe that a lot of us would love to see the glory of God. The glory of God returning to his church and into our homes and to our families. But we can't look upon the Shekinah glory and live, and so the cloud would come down and ascend and envelop the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest once a year would be allowed to go on Yom Kippur to offer sacrifices for the sins of the nation. So we see this cloud that descended. It was something beyond comprehension. God had overshadowed his glory in the presence of man. And we see something very similar happening again here. He was going to place in Mary's womb the Son of God, God's glory, as the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon her to prepare her, the highest would overshadow her, and something was going to be conceived there that's beyond comprehension. I keep saying beyond comprehension because I don't know if there's any real words that describe what we're looking at here. What we see really is amazing. Did you know, and the women probably know, but guys, this I had to look it up again, just kind of refresh myself about the wonder of conception and the growth of the child. An egg and a sperm combined, 46, that creates a 46 chromosome zygote. If the sperm contains a Y chromosome, it's going to be a boy. If the sperm is an X chromosome sperm, it's going to be a girl. As it travels down the fallopian tube, the zygote begins to split or divide its cells, and as it settles into the uterus, begins the embryonic stage. By the third week, the brain, the heart, the spinal cord, and the gastrointestinal tract are starting to develop. By mistake, of course. Right? But we can't be sure. Because it's not a viable human being yet. This is what the world is saying today. By weeks 4 and 5, there's a heartbeat. Arms and legs begin to appear. Week 6, lungs, nose, the palate, the jaw are starting to form. Week 7, all major organs have began forming, as well as eyelids, the tongue, hair. By week 8, all normal body parts are in process except for the plumbing. That starts to show up around week 13. Where you're able to then tell whether it will be a boy or a girl. You like how judiciously I did that, the plumbing? As well as teeth, week 17 to 20, fingers and toenails are starting to develop. And weeks 21 through 26, the skin starts to condense, become less transparent as the skin starts to envelop the body and then it just continues to develop in the womb. And yet nobody still can explain how that conception actually really happens and how we're more than just a physical blob. You know, evolution can only explain from the goo to the zoo to you. But they can't explain how life is breathed in with every conception, with every child that's born. It's a mystery. In fact, Ecclesiastes 11:5 says, as you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. We think we know things. And man is, you know, striving to figure it all out, to disprove that God exists when God is evident in all of creation. What a waste of time and energy and effort. And then in Psalm 139:15, it says, my frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, made in secret. We were all made in secret, fearfully and wonderfully made, Scripture says, by the hand of God. And so we see that this work would be wrought in the power of the Holy Spirit as God overshadows Mary, because there was something, there was a mystery, a secret, a miracle that was going to happen. And it's not unlike the miracle that happens every time a child is conceived, yet this was going to be a very special child. You see, it says, therefore also that Holy One who is to be born shall be called the Son of God. And we know Jesus submitted to the will of the Father. He became a little lower than the angels, was born of a woman. That Holy One was to be the hope of the world. And we see it was so important that it was with the presence of the Godhood the triune God, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Holy Spirit, or the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all there. It was an amazing and great work. You see, in the beginning, we're told, Elohim, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was out form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then John tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then goes on to say, and nothing was created that wasn't created through Him. And we see this same picture at creation, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as God wrought that great work. Listen, the birth of Christ, the virgin birth, this is a huge event. For they were all present for that conception in the womb of Mary. It's as big as creation. They were all there. And to trivialize or reduce to metaphor the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is like throwing the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. It's reckless, it is irreprehensible, and has no place in the church. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy. Look, there's no controversy to this. You don't even have to argue it. If anybody suggests that there was no virgin birth, you don't even need to put up a fight. There's no controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among Gentiles, believed on in this world, and received up in glory. That's the mystery of godliness. And he was born of a virgin. And so the Holy Spirit, or Gabriel, lays this on Mary. And amazing to us, could you imagine being Mary? Ladies, what would you be thinking right now? An angel popped up and said, look, you're gonna have a child, and he's gonna be great. Be all of these things. And the way it's gonna be done by the Holy Spirit of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit of God by the covering of the Father, and that little one is going to be the Savior of the world. He goes on and he says in verse 36, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. Now, Zacharias was wise enough not to call her old. I guess Gabriel could get away with it. I wouldn't say it. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. And just in case you're concerned about what God is going to do with you, Mary, your cousin Elizabeth, who is far beyond childbearing age, she's been pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant. The miracle's already been wrought in her. Just to calm the fears. Just to let Mary know that it's God that's in control. You see, for with God, nothing will be impossible. This is a statement of fact. It can also be literally translated, for no word from God shall be void of power. What God says, He is able to do. Does that mean God, you know, have you ever heard this question? That's a good question. Does that mean God can make a rock so big that He can't even pick it up? Well, it says, with God, nothing is impossible. And I think the greatest answer to that question and other questions like that was given by Pastor Ken Graves, who says simply, that's stupid. But do you believe God at His word? It really comes to this. Do you believe that what God says He can do, He can do? Zechariah's problem was he was not sure if God either could or would give them a child. They'd been praying for a long time. Mary was sure God can and will do what He was promising. She just wanted to know how, and I believe it is our nature to want to know how. It's our nature to want to know. If you want to let me in on the process, Lord, please do. But if he doesn't, how do we react to that? Yet we need to submit our understanding of how God is going to do it, for with God, nothing will be impossible. You see, God tells us his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. You know, we just sometimes need to let God be God. For me, when I get caught up in trying to figure him out, how many do that? Sit down and try and figure him out. Don't lie. Some of you don't. Well, you're maybe wiser than me. To just be able to step back and say, you know what? There are some things I'm just going to let you do, and I want to be in awe when it happens. We need to be in awe. You know, we could read this story over and over and over again, man. I just want to be in awe that God came down from heaven. He left his glory because he loved us so much. And so, Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. There is nothing too hard for him. And Mary's response was, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. It really, you could just say, this is Mary's response. Amen. Amen. So be it. Let it be as you say. Let it be according to your word. Mary submits entirely to God's will. She does not start to question all the possibilities and the what ifs. And the reason I put that in there is because when God wants to work in my life, when God speaks to me through his word, sometimes when I see what he's doing and sometimes I might not be too comfortable with it, I start questioning. Not because I want to know how. What about this? Mary could have, what about my marriage to Joseph? What's going to happen with that? What about my family? What are they going to think? What if the leaders of the community find out? You know, there's this thing about being stoned to death, Lord. What if? She doesn't do that, does she? No, just a simple, let it be unto me according to your ways. And the interesting thing is, you know, she heard the word and she believed it. And she was willing to submit to it because she knew that with God nothing was impossible. The only thing I think, because it's what messes up my life and my walk and my understanding, my ability to submit to the Lord, the only thing that could have messed it up is if she started questioning the what ifs. And what's going to happen? She didn't do that. And it happens in our lives too. And I started evaluating, Lord, am I really walking in full submission to you and to your will and to your way this morning? And you have to go through some parts of our lives. We need to go through some parts of our lives and say, Lord, I've really questioned this and I really questioned this and I've questioned this is painful and this has been, and I've questioned this. I've accepted this and I know that you've told me this. But to take some time and really evaluate when we're hearing the word of God, are we believing it and are we submitting to what he wants to do in our lives? Look what he can do with just a humble young woman. He brought the Savior of the world in through with her. He can do the same. And I'm not bringing the Messiah, but imagine what he can do in our lives if we're willing to hear and believe and then submit without questioning. Without questioning what he wants to do. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for your children right now. I pray, Lord, that, Lord, you're still with Papa Charles. Perfect peace is in that room and upon hearts and minds right now. Lord, I pray that perfect peace is upon hearts and minds right now in the sanctuary. Lord, that whatever we've been questioning, Lord, that we would be able to just lay it down. And submit to your faithfulness. Submit to your word, Lord. You tell us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Lord, do we truly believe what you've told us, what's here. And maybe there are some here, as you just, Lord is just ministering to you by His Holy Spirit, there are some here who you like, it's a fanciful story. But maybe today you've heard something, the Lord is speaking to your heart that it's more than just a fanciful story. This is fact. God became man and dwelt among us so that He could pay a price for a gift He did not need, but we did. That's the message today. He died for you and He died for me. He offers forgiveness of sins and a hope of eternity. And if you've heard that this morning and you want that, to accept Christ as your Savior, to know that you have a hope of eternity, I want you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you. I don't want you to leave without that. Papa Charles, man, you know, I hope the Lord just gives him more life, because when he comes in and sings, what a blessing to have him here. But I also know this, that God's prepared a place for him. That's for sure. And He's prepared a place for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Look, if you want to know that you have that, and you don't know for a fact you have that right now, and you want to pray for that, I want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to leave, because we're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised another moment. Is there anybody that would like to receive that gift, that free gift of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father, Lord, bless Your children. I pray that they would truly understand that they are highly favored, Lord, that You're with them. Whatever they're going through, whatever their thought process is, maybe, Lord, if they're struggling with that submission to You, Lord, whatever it might be, that they would know that You are with them and that they're blessed. That they're blessed beyond measure. Because of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.